Good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus to each one. Also a special welcome to visitors that are here. Glad you're here and make yourself at home and worship with us. For a text verse this morning, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. The title for the message this morning is Holy Living in the Fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He's referring to some promises that were given in the previous chapter, and he calls us to claim these promises and to cleanse ourselves and to perfect holiness in the fear of God. You know, when we face the end of life and when we face the near-death experiences, just thinking about Brother Jerry talking about his grandson, when we are facing death, will it be important to us whether we lived a holy life in the fear of God or not? I think that's probably going to be the focus of our thoughts when we face death, how we have lived our lives and whether we've lived it in the fear of God or not. You know, it's not a very popular thing to talk about holy living. People would much rather hear, our flesh would much rather hear about the things that we can do. But it is very important as we think of eternity to live in the fear of God, walking in holiness with the fear of God. He says, having therefore these promises, and we go back to chapter 6, and he gives some promises there. In verse 16, it says, What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So God is looking for people that have their sins taken care of and that are walking in holiness. And he's promising here that he will be a father to them, and he will walk with them and dwell with them. And so let's take hold of these promises, and let's live holy lives in the fear of God. This verse talks about cleansing. It talks about filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, and talks about holiness and the fear of God. And maybe sometimes we think about the sins of the flesh, and we have those. We have examples of that in Scripture. Galatians chapter 6 gives a list of things. It says, Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strifes, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. There's a list of things. Filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Some of the things that we do, and it comes out in our flesh. It is exercised by the flesh. Other sins, like envying, can be done in our spirit. And yet both of these need to be cleansed. We tend probably to emphasize or at least in my own life, I think about if I didn't do something, then I didn't do it. Well, we have to remember that dwelling on something and enjoying the temptation that the devil brings to our mind, enjoying that temptation, feeding upon it is a sin of the spirit. We need cleansed from those as well. And I believe that those are the kinds of sins that will eventually lead to sins of the flesh as also. As we seek God, as he talks about in these verses in the end of chapter 6, about coming out from the wickedness of the world and seeking God, walking in holiness, and then we have those promises that God will be with us. And it will be evident that as we are striving to live in a God-honoring way, it will be evident. Just as I believe it's evident that God is seeking to dwell with us, and he's made that evident. He's shown us that it's evident that he will dwell with us, and so it is that it should be evident in our life as well. Just like darkness and light cannot dwell together because it's incompatible, so it is with God, and those that walk in holiness and the fear of God will have compatibility. Just as the light and darkness are incompatible, so God and those that walk with him are compatible. Okay, let's go now to 1 Peter chapter 1. We see a few principles of holiness in these verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." We know that God is holy. And that is where we turn to when we want to learn what holy is. We turn to God. We can't learn it from turning to ourselves or our own wisdom. We have to turn to God. So we have to understand that God is holy, and we learn it from him. And holiness is something that affects our everyday life. The title of the message is Holy Living in the Fear of God. It is something that we live, and we live it. And it says in verse 14 there, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." He's pointing them back to the way that they lived before, how that lust was the rule of the day. And so it is the call to holiness. Holiness is the rule of the day. And just like our old nature controlled what we did, it controlled it all the time. And so holiness controls our behavior all the time. Verse 15 says, "In all manner of conversation." That word conversation, another word for it would be behavior, or all of life. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. It doesn't make any difference with who we are with, or maybe we're not with anybody, but it should make a difference. Holiness, what we do when nobody is looking, that is actually who we are. And if we're going to be holy at those times, we must live holy all the time. But we need to be accountable and be holy even when no one is watching. We don't have spaces in our life when it's okay not to be holy. There is no time out in our life. And I know we will make mistakes, and we will find where we have slipped on some things, and we need to repent of those things and come back to God. Come back and view God and understand his holiness from looking at him. Verse 13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you." I believe holiness of life is something that's going to take some effort, a lot of effort. It says here, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." And we know in this setting, the way they worked, they would gird up their garment and they went to work. And that's the way it needs to be done in our mind. We put our mind in a working gear, not in a neutral gear. Takes effort, commitment, and a desire to please God. And God is looking for this kind of a people. In the second chapter of 1 Peter here, verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." God is looking to dwell with us and to cleanse us, and then we can, in this world, we show forth the praises of God to those around us. We show what God has done and what he can do. Okay, I have a few verses here on the holiness of God. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." He says his name, whose name is holy, and he dwells in the high and holy place. We know that Isaiah in the early part, I think it's in chapter 6, where he saw the holiness of God and he said, woe is me. And there's such a, as I studied this message, we think about the holiness of God and our desire to reach out to God. And we see the holiness of God and we don't understand how we can come up to that. And yet we see his love and the sacrifice that he gave so that we can be holy. I think there's a balance that we understand how holy God is and what a sacrifice it was that it took to cleanse us from sin so that we could be holy in his eyes. And the responsibility that places upon us because of how holy God is and because of the great price that he has paid, what it should do in our own hearts and lives. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And we know that in Revelation, when the angels or the whoever that was, and, well, I'll just read the verse in Revelation 4, verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. So the eternal song of these is the holiness of God. Okay, I have several points here about holiness as we think about striving for holiness in our own lives. Think about holiness in our worship and our desire to serve God. Now, I believe that if we are looking to God, we will seek him. We will desire to be holy like him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we need to be holy in our search for God and in our worship of God. We can't have two things with equal loyalty in our life. We cannot have mixed loyalties. God wants hearts that are reaching out to him. God wants us to empty ourselves of all our own selfishness, all our own agenda, and come to him. We need to be born again so that we can have the worship that he's talking about. But we need to be holy in our worship and our seeking after God. That would make it important that we seek him even when it's not popular. And it would make it important that we understand that it won't always, maybe it is popular now, but it won't always be that way. But to have a foundation that I will seek after God and put him first in my life no matter what comes. And we rest in God and rest in the grace that he has promised for the things that may come in our life. But we need to have it anchored in our soul that we are serving God and putting him first in our life, not because serving God is a good thing to do, but because it actually is what we want to do. Number two, holiness in our thoughts. Let's look at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verses 18 to 23 says, and he said unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entering into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. And he goes on and gives a list of them there. Evil thoughts come from within the heart of man, and they come out and defile the man. So it is important that we understand that we need to be holy in our thought life. Also, in Matthew 5:28, Jesus shows the importance when he talks about lust and exercising that in our mind. It might not go as far as action, but Jesus said that you have done it in your heart. And so it's important that we are holy in our thought life. And I know that is something that we struggle with, I believe, probably on the men's side especially. We struggle with thought life, and let's make sure that we understand that God wants a relationship with us, that we can turn to Him in those times and say, God, what would you want me to think about when we're faced with these kinds of things? You know, it's so easy to keep secret, or maybe it's not, shouldn't say so easy, but we can keep secret the evil thoughts that can come into our mind, whether it is lust or whether it is pride, covetousness. There's a lot of things that we can think about, and nobody knows on the outside what we are thinking, but God does. And we need to walk in holiness and the fear of God and understand that He knows these things, and it is important to Him what we are thinking. Jesus taught that very, very often, that he gave some very strong language to the scribes and Pharisees because they pretended not to be thinking those things, but they were anyway. And we need to make sure that it is not part of our life to be thinking wrong things. And we need to understand that when we do, then we can come to God and repent and turn away from those things and become more firm in controlling our thoughts. We read that verse in 1 Peter 1, verse 13, about girding up the loins of our mind. It takes a diligence. It takes something. We have to put our mind in working gear, and it is something that you can't just float with. One of the things, I don't know much about, that is it yoga? I think it is, where you put your mind in neutral and you just let it go. And that is not according to Scripture. We need to put our minds and take control of our thought life. Ephesians 4, verse 8. Let's turn to that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Sorry, Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. There it gives a screen for your thoughts. As you think about things that come into your mind throughout the day, simply put it through the test, and God will bless you. It says, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. And many times we can fill our hearts, whether it is through singing or meditating or listening to messages or whatever. We have many electronic things nowadays that we can control what we are hearing, and we can use them in a way that will help us to have victory over our thought life. I think it is good sometimes to shut them off sometimes and just give singing or thoughts on what we have read in our devotions or things like that on our own. But let's use the tools that God has given us to have our holiness in our thoughts. Okay, number 3, holiness in our speech. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Verses 36 and 37. It says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart bringeth forth evil things. So from what's within the heart, we usually speak those things. We do speak those things. Sometimes we try to hide and do other, but what is in will come out. We need to have holiness within our heart and let it come out in a godly way, in a way that will edify others. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Many verses like this are good for me to refresh and to understand. So many times we like to be quick on what we say, and a lot of times when we don't think before we speak, we say things that we shouldn't. At least I do. Okay, number 4, holiness in our dress. Let's look back again at 1 Peter chapter 1. I know this subject was touched on last Sunday, so I won't spend a lot of time on it, but First Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Putting the emphasis on the holiness of God, and we think about dress, do we think about what we can get by with, or do we think about the holiness of God? Most of the time, it seems that when man tried to make dress that was appropriate, God had to come back and show him that he needed some more. And Adam and Eve would be an example of that. When they understood their need of clothing, they sewed fig leaves together, and God then took skins and clothed them further. And just think about that as you think about holiness of dress, as we present our bodies and live and give a clear testimony that there's holiness within. 1 Peter 5:5 is a very important, it talks about clothing in that one, but it's a clothing of the mind. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. We can do many things with our clothing, but humility needs to be the overriding, the humility and the holiness of God needs to be evident in our clothing. Number 5, holiness in our material pursuits. We know the story of the rich farmer in Luke 12. I don't think we'll take the time to look at that. But as we think about how important it is that we live holy lives in all of our life, whether it is, we talk about here, the material pursuits, maybe we think about them sometimes as being on a separate burner. But God wants us to have all of our life in tune with Him. The story of the rich young farmer there that had so much, and he said, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and I'll take it easy. He didn't have holiness there in mind. He was living for self. And I need to think about that in my own pursuits of material things. Is it for the good of mankind? And for the good of my brother, or am I just doing it to build an empire? And, you know, each of us need to examine our hearts when it comes to these things. And we can, as we open ourselves to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, I think it's important that we open ourselves to the brotherhood. Are we pursuing things to hoard it up, or are we pursuing to bless others? And I think that's so important. God needs men that we're willing to give to the needs of the church, whether it's the school, whether it's physical hospital bills, things like that. We know that there are big bills to pay, and God bless the rich that are able to give in that way. And it's a way that we can live holy lives in the material pursuits that we have. There are many warnings in the Scripture about the snare of covetousness, and I don't think those apply just to the rich. They apply to all of us, whether we're rich or poor. So we need to be holy in that aspect. Well, holiness in relating to the world around us. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 15. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We need to be different, separate from the world, because of the holiness of God within, the fear of God within. And Jesus understood that we would be here. We would face things that from the world. And he says that they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Is it that evident in my life, that as it was in Jesus' life? We can read in the Scripture how different he was from those around him. Is it that way in my life? Psalm 1, first couple verses there, says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Maybe sometimes we focus on verse 1, and it's a very excellent verse. Walking not, standing not, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. But in verse 2 it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I believe a man that delights in the law of God will not be found in the unholiness of the world. I'm glad that we have a group of brothers here that we can have close friendships with, and we can have a bond that helps us to keep ourselves from the unholiness around us. We do need to be friendly and work with those in the world, and we need to have that in a way that gives a clear testimony that our goals are to live holy lives. Okay, number 7, holiness in reactions. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Holiness in reactions. You know, does my reaction show I'm being controlled by a walk with God, or does it show that I respond with a fleshly response? A lot of times that is the test that we face. So when we have time to think about our reaction, we can control it better or hide what's in our heart a little better. But when things happen suddenly, what is controlling us? In Colossians chapter 3, it just gives the importance of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. I think I'll just read verses 7 through 15. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, talking about this list of sins here that we need to mortify. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Many things we could think about here. Are we reacting when we have something happen? Is our reaction coming forth from the old man that hasn't been mortified, hasn't been crucified, or is it a reaction or an action that comes from a life that is putting on the new man, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, and so on? I think that's probably, in my life at least, is where I struggle, is where things happen. And it's a response that comes so sudden, and we need to control what is in our heart so that those things are not coming from a fleshly controlled response. Well, the title of the message was Holy Living in the Fear of God, so I thought I'd close with a few thoughts on the fear of God. We talked about in the beginning about God's promises of dwelling with those that are seeking to live for Him. And we see the holiness of God, and maybe as we see the holiness of God, it could make us have a wrong fear or a being afraid of God. The Bible talks about a proper fear of God, and there's connection in the verses that I found. There's a connection between the fear of the Lord and keeping the commandments of God. Deuteronomy 10 verse 12, says, And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So he says, what the Lord requires is to fear the Lord thy God, walk in his ways, to love him. So there's a connection between a proper fear of God, or I think a reverence would be a word that we're more familiar with there. Reverence the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's how we walk in holiness before in the fear of God, in the reverence of our the reverence from our heart to God. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Again, you see the connection between the fear of the Lord and obedience to his command. In James 2:19, it talks about the devils, how they fear and tremble. And that's a fear that we can have of God if we're not careful, if we don't have a proper view of God. Let's understand the holiness of God and yet understand the heart of God, that he's reaching down and wanting and desiring to lift us up to what he wants us to be. He's not there to strike us down. He knows what our intentions are. He knows what our desires are. And as long as we are seeking after him, he will keep reaching his hand down to us. Now, when we turn away and when we reject the word of the Lord and deliberately go against him, then we do need to fear God in a fearful way, because there is judgment coming on sin. 1 John 4. John 4:17-18 says, Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Notice he says that herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We can understand the relationship that we have between us and God. In the Romans 8:15, it talks about this: we have not been given the spirit of fear, but the spirit of, didn't get it right. Romans 8:15, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father, or Our Father. We can understand the relationship, and we understand God as our Father and his desire to help us. The Bible also says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A proper reverential fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We need to understand God's holiness the best we can. I'm sure we can't understand it all the way, but we need to strive to understand it. We need to understand how far we are from God without the work of Jesus Christ. And then we need to accept his plan and live with a heart that's desiring to please God. And that takes humility and submission to God. I'd like to close with a verse in Isaiah 57:15. I believe it sums it up. It says, For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So we look up to God, and we look at him holding his hand down, accept that in humility, and he dwells with us. Let's do that through the coming week. Let's kneel for prayer.